Good morning. We're happy to have so many guests with us this morning. You're very welcome. It's our custom to give a short talk after we have our homa. So bear with us. Conditions in the world today are certainly troubling. Wars between countries, wars within countries, plus a serious threat of international terrorist acts. The terrorist acts in New York on September 11th naturally heightened everyone's concern about these problems. One of the immediate consequences of the 9/11 terrorist attacks was the presence of television coverage depicting people in a number of countries who strongly hate the United States. Some to the point of wishing violence upon it. Watching these shocking reports on television, we were quite impressed by the extent and seriousness of the problem of prejudice in the world today. Attitudes of prejudice toward those who are of a different race, nation, or religion can start simply as distrust, which can then deepen into dislike and deepen further into hatred, which can turn into a desire to inflict injury. Are we born with these attitudes? Certainly not. We are taught them at home, at school, and even in some religious institutions. Earlier this year, a number of resolutions were passed objecting to the U.S. going to war with Iraq. Others have expressed their objection by demonstrating in the streets. These actions are sincere and make a point, but they certainly do not address the core of the problem, which is hatred. People have been raised to hate those of different ethnic groups, religions, or nations. The solution, though a long-term one, is that we need, in the century ahead, to teach all children tolerance, openness to different ways of life, different beliefs, different customs of dress and language. We need to stop teaching them to fear those who are different from themselves. Stop teaching them hatred for peoples of other colors and other religions. Stop teaching them to see the world as a field of conflict. And instead instill in them an informed appreciation and a joyous reverence for the grand diversity we find around us. Instead of teaching children to be intolerant and to dislike and distrust, hate and inflict injury on those who are different, we can teach them to be tolerant and like and trust, befriend and help. And, of course, the central place for that to occur is in the home. Secondarily, it can be further strengthened by also being taught at the temple and at school and through special community activities. Gurudeva often stressed that it is in the home that we can change the world for the better. It is the qualities we cultivate in our children that create the world of the future. Therefore, the most effective form of protest to the violence in the world is to give more thought to what our children are learning as they grow up. And in this regard, every father and mother is indeed a guru. In fact, an individual's first guru, teaching by example, explanation, giving advice, and direction. When we think of gurus, we automatically think of teaching. Thus, looking at parents as gurus highlights the importance of what parents teach their children, grandchildren, and possibly even their great-grandchildren. The quality we wish parents to develop in the child is a prejudice-free consciousness, possessing an open-mindedness that readily embraces differences in ethnic background, religion, and nationality. How can parents nurture a prejudice-free consciousness? As we previously mentioned, we are not born with prejudices. They are all learned at home, at school, and elsewhere. This gives us a good overview, then, on how to nurture a prejudice-free consciousness, which is by carefully monitoring what children hear at home, school, and elsewhere that expresses prejudice. It is nurtured firstly through complete avoidance of remarks which are racially or religiously prejudiced. Secondly, through discussing with our children any prejudice they hear from others at school and elsewhere, and correcting it. We can teach children to avoid generalizations about people and instead to think about specific individuals and the qualities they have. For even positive generalizations should be avoided as they encourage us not to look at the qualities of specific individuals. Television and movies can provide useful situations to discuss with children. Tolerance can be developed through having our children meet, interact, and learn to feel comfortable with children of other ethnicities and religions. There are a few key Hindu beliefs that are the basis for Hindu tolerance. The first belief is on the nature of God, which is the basis for Hindu tolerance of all other religions. Hinduism has four divisions or denominations, Saivism, Saktism, Smartism, and Vaishnavism. Each calls the Supreme Being by a different name. To Saivites, the Supreme is called Shiva. Saktas refer to the Supreme as Shakti. Smartas call the Supreme Being Brahman. And to Vaishnavas, he is Vishnu. However, the important point is that each Hindu is worshipping the same Supreme Being. The name is different, the tradition is different. But it is the same Supreme Being that is being worshipped by all Hindus. There is an ancient verse from the Rig Veda that is often quoted in this regard. Truth is one. Sages express it variously. The same statement from the Rig Veda can be expanded beyond Hinduism to include all the world's religions. That there is only one Supreme Being and all the world's religions are in truth worshipping the same Supreme Being. Hindus also believe that there is no exclusive path, no one way for all. They profoundly know that God, that the God they worship is the same Supreme Being in whom peoples of all faiths find solace, peace, and liberation. Religious beliefs are manifold and different. Hindus, understanding the strength of this diversity, wholeheartedly respect and encourage all who believe in God and do not seek to interfere with anyone's faith or practice. Since the inner intent of all religions is to bind man back to God, Hindus honor the fact that truth is one, paths are many. Nonetheless, Hindus realize that all religions are not the same. Each has its unique beliefs, practices, goals, and paths of attainment, and the doctrines of one often conflict with those of another. Even this should never be cause for religious tension or intolerance. The Hindu belief that gives rise to tolerance for differences in race and nationality is that all of mankind is good. We are all divine beings, souls created by God. Hindus do not accept the concept that some individuals are evil and others are good. Hindus believe that each individual is a soul, a divine being who is inherently good. Upanishads tell us that each soul is emanated from God as a spark from a fire and begins the spiritual journey which eventually leads back to God. All human beings are on this journey, whether they realize it or not. The Hindu practice of greeting one another with namaskar or worshiping God within the other person is a way this philosophical truth is practiced on a daily basis. This is taken one step further in the Vedic verse Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The whole world is one family. Everyone is family-oriented. What we do is to benefit all the members of our family. We want them all to be happy, successful, and religiously fulfilled. And when family is defined to be the whole world, then it is clear that we wish everyone in the world to be happy, successful, and religiously fulfilled. The Vedic verse that captures this sentiment is, "May all people be happy." In the second half of the 20th century, Hindu concepts became more and more popular and influential in the West. For example, every year more Westerners take up the belief in karma and reincarnation as a logical explanation of what they observe in life. Certainly one of the most visible uses of Hindu values in the West in the 20th century was Dr. Martin Luther King. After many years of giving careful thought to the problem of discriminatory laws, Dr. King selected the Hindu principle of ahimsa as exemplified by Mahatma Gandhi's tactic of nonviolent resistance as the most effective method for overcoming the unjust laws of racial discrimination in the United States. It is interesting to note that in 1959, Dr. King spent 5 weeks in India discussing with Gandhi's followers the philosophy and techniques of nonviolence to deepen his understanding before putting them into actual use. Swami Chinmayananda, in his first public talk given in 1951, made a powerful statement. He said, "The true Hinduism is a science of perfection. There is in this true Hinduism a solution to every individual, social, national, and international problem. True Hinduism is the Sanatana Dharma of the Upanishads." Perhaps in the 21st century, the world can again turn to the high-minded values of Hinduism, choosing this time the concept of tolerance as a way of creating a future for this planet that is free from war and terrorism. And such tolerance should not be mere passive acceptance of those who are different, but rather a heartfelt, proactive effort to befriend and help. Thank you.